Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 159. Congratulations to the Portuguese women's national team for qualifying for their first ever World Cup. I felt I had to start off this episode talking about that first. A major, major accomplishment for women's football, and I'm going to talk about that here. Also going to talk about the review in European Cup competitions. Disappointing result for Porto, but very much in the tie. Sporting showed that they were the better team, like I said they would be against Medellin, and they advanced to the round of 16. Braga, for a few minutes, gave us hope. Scored two goals right away. It was still early in the first half, but unfortunately they went on to lose 3-2. I'm going to also review last week's Liga B win week 21, preview the upcoming week 22 this weekend. Second division report, big three report, also give some latest news regarding Roberto Martinez, and guess what Portuguese team he visited this week. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And obviously also talk about Portugal updates with regards to the players on the national team that play abroad. And then we're going to end it with, and you're not going to believe what is going on with my favorite little club in Portugal, Atlético dos Arcos. I'm just going to save it for the end. Awful result this weekend. And then they had a bunch of changes with the manager. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'm going to share that with you like I always do. It's the last item that'll be on this episode toward the very, very end. First off, let me start. Congratulations again to the women's national team. First ever World Cup appearance. They qualify for the tournament this summer that'll be played in New Zealand and Australia. And they are in a very tough group. But then again, this is the World Cup, and all the groups, just about all of them, at least are going to have at least two strong opponents. But the Portuguese will be in the group with powerhouse USA, obviously one of the better teams that have won multiple World Cups. They're going to be playing the Netherlands, another strong country, and Vietnam. And now Portugal fills in as the fourth team in that group. After this past Wednesday, they got by Cameroon. It was a match it was played in New Zealand. So it was played in New Zealand on Wednesday evening, but the match, Portugal time, was 6:30 a.m. Wednesday morning. So a lot of people woke up and went to work on Wednesday morning with the news that Portugal women have qualified for the World Cup. And look, if you're listening to me and you have a daughter that loves sports, if you have a sister that loves sports, if you have friends, female friends that love sports, Wednesday was a fantastic day in Portugal for not just women's football, but for women's sports. To reach the pinnacle, the top of the mountain, to play in the world's biggest competition, and to be able to do that after all those years, despite all the success of our men's national team, despite our history with our clubs and the many great Portuguese male players that are produced, you always wondered why the women couldn't do the same to a certain extent. And they qualified. They've already played in the last few Euros, and they took care of business. 33 players from start to finish were a part of this campaign. I thought O Jogo did a great job on the front of their newspaper listing all the names. Great, great job honoring them. These players are a part of history. To go through life and to say that you're a part of history for something like this in Portugal is a very, very big deal. And again, congratulations to the Federation, President Fernando Gomes. Portugal has a very good futsal team. Portugal has always done well with roller hockey. They've done well with track and field. The handball team has even had some success. The basketball team, we know about, of course, the player that plays for the Sacramento Kings, Keita. We've seen some success in tennis with João Souza. And now we could put the women's team being a part of that sports tradition of playing at the highest levels. And I'm so very, very excited for Portugal, and I think you should be very too. So again, congratulations to the women's national team. They come home, the day I'm dropping this episode, Friday, they arrive in Lisbon, I think around lunchtime. And obviously there's going to be a lot of people waiting for them at the airport, of course. And then, of course, they're going to be playing two matches, by the way. They apparently it's gotten out into the press. April the 7th against Japan, April the 11th versus Wales. Those will both be played up north in Guimarães. And I believe that's also right around Easter week time. So if you're in Portugal, I encourage you to go out to Guimarães and support the ladies in their upcoming matches to get ready for this summer's World Cup. So again, congratulations to Portugal and the Federation. Great job. European action this week, before I get through all the other topics. Disappointing result for Porto. Otávio getting sent off for the first time in his career, which is, obviously not very good. But at the end of the day, what was very important was that even though Porto lost, it was not by an ugly score. Let's remember, they had a lot of players that were injured. I think at one point there was 7-8 players. They say 8, but one of them is the goalkeeper who's been injured for a while, so I don't think you could account Meshedu. But there were 7 players that do see minutes that came into that match doubtful. Obviously, players like Galeno and Otávio and Uribe, players that kind of had a history of being hurt, they did play. Galeno, though, left injured. And as I'm recording this, he's doubtful for the match against Gil Vicente. He's got some muscular injuries. But, not a great result. But if you're Porto coming up on March the 14th, there's still a possibility here. It's still very much, you get everybody healthy. You're playing in the Dragon in front of your 45,000 fans in the stadium. Very much a wide open tie, but it is disappointing that they lost because of the coefficient rankings, which I'll talk about coming up here, in a few minutes. We saw Sporting, and I said this in my preview, Sporting's a much better team than this Danish team, Medellin. Medellin's got a good history, yes, but Sporting's a much better team, even though Sporting isn't the Sporting we've known the last few years. Fourth place Sporting is still a much better team than any of these teams in Denmark. And obviously after the 1-1 draw at home, Sporting went to Denmark and demolished them. And they advanced to the round of 16, which the same day that I dropped this episode, right around the time they drop it, they're going to be doing the draw. And the fact is that they picked up a little bit more money, over $1 million, by advancing Sporting, which is not Champions League money, but it is money. And most importantly, they basically continue in this competition, because between this and battling for third place in the Liga to get a Champions League spot, that's pretty much all Sporting has left this season. Braga, for like a few minutes, gave us hope. He lost the first leg in Braga 4-0, scored the first two goals Thursday night in Fiorentina. After 34 minutes, they were leading 2-0, and you thought maybe they have a shot to make this interesting. But unfortunately, 3-4 minutes later, after Braga made it 2-0, Fiorentina scored, and that seemed to take the air out of Braga. And then, of course, Fiorentina scored 2 more goals later, and they walked away with the win, which means that Portugal lost another game. So Portugal with only one positive result this week, and that is Sporting. And folks, the situation in Europe is not looking, it's not looking very good. Basically, you have a situation where Portugal right now is in 7th place. The Dutch are in 6th place, and they're sort of, they're kind of making ground. They're building ground against us. And I warned you they would, because a lot of their teams are playing in the weaker Europa and Europa Conference League. And even though they have only 2 teams left, both of those teams have a good shot to win a few more matches in this. And I know Ajax has been eliminated. Still, they're playing in weaker competitions, whereas 2 or 3 of our teams are playing in their toughest league. And who knows, if we advance past this round of 16 of the Champions League, how tough it's going to get into the quarters. But in a case you wonder, you get like 2 points for a win, you get a point for a draw, and then basically if you advance past the groups, you get like 2 points. So there's all this math that's involved, and depending on how many points you accumulate, divided by how many teams are in European competition this season, you get a coefficient. And then over the course of 5 years, you average out that coefficient. And then that's how they have it lined up with all the federations, 1 to 42. And obviously, the higher you are up in this thing, the more opportunities you get to play in the European competition, especially going straight to the group stage. And my understanding as of right now is that, well, next season, nothing changes, because whatever happens this season is for the following year. We still will have the top 2 automatically going to the Champions League. We'll have third place playing through the third preliminary round in the playoff for the third place team. But the following year, I believe it's only 1 team that automatically makes it, and then the other's got to go through the playoff group. So they're off the bat is one of the negativity issues that we have to deal with. But, you know, Portugal right now, the Netherlands, they have 57.3 coefficient points. And Portugal right now has 54.716 average of coefficient points. So they are practically 3 points better than us. And unless we win the Champions League, unless Sporting makes it to the Europa final, looks like we're going to lose a team directly to the Champions League. Looks like we're going to lose a team like that for the following season, where we'll have only one automatic based on everything that I have read. So very disappointing news for Portugal. But again, if what we have left over between really the big three that are left over, and why do they call the big three? Because generally they're the teams that are the top in Portugal, and they're the teams that tend to go the farthest in Europe. And in this case, we're talking about Benfica, Porto, and Sporting. And obviously, Benfica won the first leg 2-0. So they'll play that second leg coming up here another week and a half when they host Bruges. And then, of course, Porto on the 14th will be playing at home. And all very manageable. All very, very possible to advance to the next round. And it'd be awesome if we could have two Portuguese teams in the Champions League quarterfinals. Where, by the way, I believe they may even have possibly play each other. Wouldn't that be something if that were possible? I have to double check that info, but I'm pretty sure once you get out of round of 16 that anybody could play each other. So that's pretty much the story there regarding the Champions League. Continuing on here, let's talk about last week. Liga B win, reviewing week 21. Obviously, we saw the big three all won. Benfica won at home 3-1 to Boavista in front of 56,000 fans in the Luge. Boavista did manage to make it 1-1, but at the end of the day, Gonçalo Ramos and Petar Musa gave Benfica the win 3-1 in the Luge. We saw Braga. Braga scored the quickest goal this season in Portugal, 18 seconds into the match against Arouca. By the way, the first time Braga played Arouca back in the fall, they beat him 6-0. The first goal they scored was 22 seconds. So this time Braga plays Arouca again, and this time beats the Liga record for the season of 22 seconds that they owned that record. Now they beat it, and they made it quickly, scoring after 18 seconds. I saw some places it was 17, but I've seen it some places that it's 18, at least in the Liga thing. And Braga beating Arouca 2-0. We saw Porto narrowly beating Rio Ave 1-0. And, of course, we also saw Sporting on Monday go to Desportivo dos Chaves in a very tough match. Ruben Amorim said that, had the match had more time left in it, after Chaves made it 3-2, that, you know, it would have probably gotten very complicated for Sporting, but Sporting manages to hold on. Pote with the brace. He also had the brace against the Danish team in the Europa League. So two braces for Pote in 1 week. And again, I'm surprised that he doesn't get mentioned more with going to a bigger club. He was that way 2 years ago. He kind of slowed down, and now maybe he's picking up again. And let me tell you, when Pote is scoring, Sporting is a much better team. That's been one of the things that I think has been missing this season, has been the incredible scoring like a few years ago when Pote, if I remember correctly, was one of the best Liga scorers in the Liga. But that was the results. And right now it's pretty simple. You know, you still have Benfica 56 points. You got Porto 51. You got Braga 49. You got Sporting 41. So essentially, to me, again, it's very simple. You've got Benfica Porto battling for the title. I do not see Braga, because of some of the results they've had, I just don't see them competing. But if you're Braga, it's really all about third place and trying to get into the Champions League, third round preliminary and then the playoff. Sporting, you're only, in fourth place with 41 points. Your whole season is trying to get to that third place. That is really the only major objective you have left in the Liga. Otherwise, you're going to go back to the Europa League next year, although you would go automatically qualifying. And then there's a very interesting race breaking out in fifth place, which is that last Europa Conference League spot. And that's, of course, Vitória Guimarães with 34 points, Gazapia with 32, Arouca with 30. And those are, in my opinion, the three teams, Vitória Guimarães, Gazapia, and Arouca. Those are the teams that I think are battling for that fifth place. And then down at the bottom, they're playing a little bit better, Passos, but they still only have 12 points. Marítimo is 17th with 13. Santa Clara is in 16th place in the playoff position with 15. So the bottom three are very close. The problem is that the next team after that, 15th place, which doesn't have to worry about relegation, they have 22 points. So they're 10 points ahead of Basuj. They are 10 points ahead of Basuj. They are 9 points ahead of Maritimo and Estoril in 15th place, although they have not been playing very well with Verissimo as manager of late. They're still 7 points ahead of Santa Clara in 6th place. So that's really the magic number here. They got to get to 22 points or higher. But that's what's happening down at the bottom in Portugal. And this weekend, best match, in my opinion, this weekend is the derby on Monday, the Minho derby between Vitória Guimarães and Braga. Vitória battling for 5th place. Braga battling, of course, for 3rd place. And they are pretty much going to be the last match of match day 22. Everything gets going on Friday with Fama taking on Portimonense. Saturday, you have 3 matches, Arouca, Casapia, Marítimo, Santa Clara, and then Vizela. This is a pretty nice match, too, is the late match on Saturday night at home to Benfica. Sunday, 3 more matches. You got Rio Ave, Chaves, Passos de Ferreira, Boa Vista, and then, of course, you have Porto playing at home to Gil Vicente. And then on Monday, because of European action, you've got Sporting at home to Estoril. And you've got, of course, the derby that I just talked about, Guimarães and Braga. And those are pretty much your big matches. Looking at everything that's going on, I don't see any injuries for Benfica. Porto right now, Gabriel Veron is listed out with an injury, but Galeno obviously injured himself at Inter. So I don't think he's doubtful for this weekend. I don't think he'll play. We go over to Gil Vicente. Basically, Victor Carvalho was sent off last week, so he's out. Lucas Barros and Stanislav Krychuk are both injured. Marítimo, nothing much to say about them. Passos or Braga. Braga has no injury report. The only play, Sporting this weekend, Manuel Ugarte will not be available for this weekend's match. Ugarte is basically picked up his 5th yellow. He, by the way, also picked up another yellow in the Europa League, so he's not going to be available for the first round of 16 match in European competition. Well, he's also not available as well this weekend as he picked up his 5th yellow. And Sporting, by the way, will be playing Estoril this weekend. And then looking at here, what else do we have? Guimarães, Zé Carlos is injured. Mikael Villanueva, the Ecuadorian, is in doubtful. Chaves, not much to say. Kind of scrolling here, seeing if there's any big names that stick out. And I don't really see anything, you know, that comes up. Alan Ruiz apparently is injured with a muscular injury, so he may not feature for Arouca this weekend. So that's kind of your basically your Liga B win report. Again, I think the best match this weekend is the one on Monday night between Guimarães and Braga. It's always a very, very emotional match. People think of the big three, but it's a pretty good match as well. Let's review the second division. And first off, my team in the second division from Torres Vedras, Turriense, with a very, very last week, very good result. They went to Seychelles. Benfica wasn't happy with the refereeing, by the way. Turriense went to Seychelles and beat Benfica B 2-1. Turriense now, after at one point being in last place with 0 points, they changed their manager. They are now up to 12 points with 27. They're in 12th place with 27 points. And one more win, because you've got 6 teams with 27 points, by the way, in the middle of the pack of the second division. Leixões, Feirense from Santa Maria de Feira, FC Porto B, Tundela, Penafiel, and Turriense. They all have 27 points. The team in 6th place, Olivarense, has 28. So any of these teams that win this weekend, they could potentially jump to as high as 6th place in the table. And that's how tight it is in the second division. But basically last week, I mean, other matches, Moreirense B-side was 1-1. And then Moreirense scored a bunch of goal late to record the win. Feirense, 3rd place, they recorded a big win at home against Mafra. Estrela Amadora also went. They went up north to play FC Porto B, and they walked away with a 2-1 win. And as a result, right now, you have Moreirense in 1st place with 49 points, really in control of 1st place with a 9-point lead over 2nd place Estrela Amadora. Feirense from the Algarve is 3rd with 38 points. You got Académico do Viseu They are in a fourth place with 35 points. They drew 1-1 last Friday. Academic Wiesel still in the hunt, but now they're in fourth place with 35 points, and they're 5 points behind Estrela Amadora. And Vila Franquense is in fifth place with 33 points. But Moreirense, Estrela Amadora are basically the teams right now. If you had promotion, they would be going up, and Feirense from the Algarve would essentially be going to the playoff. And as we continue here, looking at the bottom, Cuvier has been playing really well lately, but they only drew last week, and they are last with 15 points. Trofense is 17th place with 19 points. And then B-Sad, Belenenses, formerly Belenenses Sad, they are in 16th place with 20 points. But I will say that Covilha especially, I love Covilha. It's one of the few places in Portugal where it snows. I know some people there. They're starting to turn it around, but the draws don't really help them. They need the points. Going through this weekend, everything that's going on Friday with Trofense playing Penafiel. Best match this weekend, in my opinion. There's no doubt about it. You've got Red Hot Turrientes at home. They're in Torres Vedras. They'll be playing Jorge Costa and Académico do Viseu. Fourth place team. That is no doubt your best match. And that'll be the 11 a.m. match on a Saturday morning. Then, of course, you got Leixões at home to Benfica B, Oliveirense at home to Moreirense. So Moreirense makes the short trip to the Porto suburbs. And then you're going to have five matches on Sunday. The most interesting one is Estrela Amadora, second place, playing Tondela. And that's pretty much your second division report. And coming up next, part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. Usually when I record an episode, part one and part two, I do it all in one timing. But I decided to redo part two this early Friday morning when I'm about to release this because basically we have some news about a new managerial change. We now know who Sporting is going to play in the Europa League. And there's also the news as well with the Portugal women being honored by the president. So I wanted to kind of comment on some of these things as well for part two. And before I get going, just a reminder again, if you want to support this podcast, I get people all the time. You know, I've been listening to you or following PortugueseSoccer.com for over, 27 years when it first started. Thank you so much. How can you help me? And I always like to tell people the best way to do it is please follow this podcast, Spotify, Anchor FM, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. It's also on YouTube, the audio, Amazon Music. It's on all the major platforms. So that would be the best way to say thank you. And of course, also say thank you. Of course, follow us on social media at PSoccerCOM on Twitter, PSoccerCOM on Facebook. And then, of course, there's the partner Instagram account, Portuguese_soccer_noticias with Instagram. And again, for all those who are following, thank you so much, and I really appreciate it. But here we go, part two. And the big news on Friday that came out in the morning was that Estoril and Nelson Veríssimo have parted ways as manager. Estoril has decided to move in a new direction. Nelson Veríssimo, of course, the former Benfica manager, he managed them twice in an interim capacity. He also spent a few years managing the Benfica B team, and he did very, very well with them. Of course, he left after it was decided that Benfica was going to get Roger Schmidt. And obviously, he's now been the manager of Estoril, but it hasn't really worked out for him. Estoril is in 15th place. They're almost near the bottom. They are 7 points ahead of the 16th place team, Santa Clara, who's in the playoff position. So they have a little bit of breathing room, but apparently not enough for the administration. And we've got something like 13 matches left. So I think Estoril decided to make a move. The report, according to Record, who was the first one to report this news, also says that they are looking to see if maybe former Gil Vicente manager Ricardo Suarez might be interested in this job. Ricardo Suarez, of course, did a fantastic job last year with Gil Vicente, got him to qualify for the first time ever in European competition with them going to the Europa Conference League. But if you remember last summer, he left in the preseason to take a big job in Egypt, which unfortunately did not work out well for him. But he is one of the names that are being mentioned right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear of maybe Daniel Ramos. Those are some of the people that I think will be up for this job. So we'll see, in fact, what happens. But yes, Estoril going into the match on Monday against Sporting will either have a new manager or they'll appoint one for this weekend before they find a permanent manager. We also saw the Europa League draw on Friday morning. And if you had heard the original part two of this episode, I joked around and I said, you know, with my luck, because I'm an Arsenal fan when it comes to the EPL, it's the team that I like outside of Portugal. With my luck, Arsenal's going to play Sporting. And guess what happens? Arsenal's going to play Sporting. Or, as I'm sure we'll hear a million times in the next week, 2-3 weeks, Sporting Lisbon, when obviously it should be Sporting CP or Sporting Clube de Portugal. So it's always interesting whenever, you know, how many times did we see that with Enzo Fernandez, with Bruno, everybody calling Sporting Lisbon when obviously the club doesn't like that. Bruno de Carvalho was very big on trying to make sure that people in the English language said it right, Sporting Clube de Portugal or Sporting CP. But most people continue to say Sporting Lisbon. And people get confused with the team in Spain, Sporting Gijón. A lot of people feel like they don't want to upset them by saying, you know, Sporting, you know. Most people think Sporting is the one in Spain, according to some of the arguments I've had with people when they defend Sporting Lisbon. But anyway, a very tough draw for Sporting. I think they got the worst team possible. Obviously, Arsenal having a fantastic year in the Premier League, so it's not going to be easy. But Ruben Amorim did say after the after they advanced past the Danish team Midtjylland that Sporting's looking to do the impossible. And right now, one of the two objectives they have left is the Europa League. And if they could get by Arsenal, it would be a very, very big deal. But it's going to be very, very, very tough. Other news around the league: FC Porto. Galeno is not available this weekend. Porto, of course, goes into this weekend's match only 5 points behind Benfica. We have a true race, and we'll see what happens. But really, again, repeating what I talked about in the first part of this episode, very disappointing result for Porto, but they've got plenty of time to turn it around, in my opinion. Benfica, at the press conference, another reason why I wanted to comment and I redid part two was Roger Schmidt was asked at the press conference on Friday. You know, there's been some news circulating this week of allegations back in the 2017-18 season that Benfica might have done something wrong to influence a player that eventually did join Benfica from Moreirense, and it's become this whole big thing, and the timing of it has been questioned by a lot of people. But, you know, and I'm not going to get into the details of that because it seems like every 2 or 3 months there are some really big allegations that come out about a Portuguese club. And, you know, but Roger Schmidt was asked about this. He said, you know, what's your opinion? What is the team's opinion about all these allegations? And I thought he had something very interesting. He said, look, we have 13 matches left. The players are focused on what goes on in the pitch and not off the pitch. And that's all everybody thinks about. And you know, again, I think people don't understand that when you play for a big Portuguese club, players are not thinking about issues with the supporters to the extent that most think. They are not thinking about allegations of club impropriety from a few years ago or the possibility that players could be sold to another club. You'd be surprised in Portugal, in the culture of Portugal, how players do a very good job of blocking that out. I don't believe, you know, I heard somebody say once, well, you know, Sporting is going to be influenced by Porto. And no, I mean, when you play for a club like Benfica, Sporting, or Porto, you're used to allegations, you're used to bad news, you're used to rumors. Part of being a footballer, and especially in the sport of football that is so popular, is that you deal with all these outside distractions, and a lot of these players know how to deal with it pretty well. But Schmidt, I thought, gave a very good answer, and that's obviously a situation that bears watching. And again, it seems like every 2 or 3 months in Portugal, something is being investigated from the past, so we'll see what happens. I don't have one opinion on it one way or another, but Schmidt, I thought, gave the proper answer about that they're just most focused on what he could control, which is, of course, the matches. Moving along here, of course, Braga. One thing I want to say about Braga, they just started a campaign to increase their sócios, to increase their due-paying members. Braga continues to try to be Portugal's fourth biggest club. I still think it's Guimarães because of the size of their support. And Guimarães, if they were ever to compete for third or fourth place, I think people would see how big of crowds they get in Dom Juan, you know, in their stadium. But basically, Braga is starting a campaign to get more sauce used, and they are trying to put themselves in a better position to get more support in Portugal. And the Portuguese are dominated by the big three. If one of these clubs, like a Braga or Vitória Guimarães, could make a run toward a title, I think it would be great for Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer. But Braga this week announcing some efforts to increase their support, and in the hopes that in the future they could continue to compete for titles. Portugal, Roberto Martinez report. He was at Benfica this week. He went to Seychelles, went to talk to all the national team players that have either played in the World Cup or have in the past. He spoke to Gonçalo Ramos, João Mário, Gonçalo Guedes. He spoke to pretty much all the Portuguese World Cup players, Rafa, that obviously had played in the past. Be curious to see, by the way, if Rafa would come back with Roberto Martinez. I'm very curious about that. But he's nevertheless paying, going to all the big matches in Portugal, going to see all the different clubs. And pretty soon, he's going to be announcing his squad for the Euro qualifiers next month against Luxembourg and Liechtenstein. And again, I'm very curious to see, is he going to call Cristiano Ronaldo? Is he going to call João Mário? Will Rafa change his mind? I'm very curious to see about some of that stuff. But looking at the national team players abroad, Bruno Fernandes got a lot of love this week, but also got a lot of hate for kicking a ball that hit one of the Barcelona players. And I saw from the video, I thought that, I don't know if he was necessarily doing it on purpose. He should have probably been a bit more accurate where he was kicking it. But I don't know. It sounded to me like he was just trying to get it knocked out of the way. But he got a lot of negativity on social media about that. A lot of negativity. Diego Costa, big week this week. Even though Porto lost at Inter, he had a very big save and continues to grow his name. Portugal is so in good position, aside from the mistake he almost made in the first group match in the World Cup. He's been overall brilliant, and he had a very big save to keep it, to keep Porto only losing 1-0 in Inter, in my opinion. Gonçalo Ramos, of course, again, he is currently the Liga leading scorer with 13 goals. He is the first Portuguese Benfica player to be leading the league in goals in over 30 years, so he continues to do well. João Mário, although he missed a PK against Boavista on Monday, again, deserves a call-up. Cristiano, doing very well in Saudi Arabia. He's even changing the workout habits and the eating habits of his team, so he's having a big influence. And again, I'm curious to see, will he be called up for these two matches? João Felix was also in the news. João Felix talking about how he feels like he has a little bit more freedom to play with Chelsea. João, let me tell you something. I watched the match last week with Chelsea and Dortmund, and you missed a few easy shots. So in addition to being in a style of play that suits you, you got to score, my man. You got to score. So I hope you do, because I'm a big fan of yours. And I think that would be really great. Other players abroad, although this one won't feature in any national team pool, Fabio Silva scored a goal for his Dutch team the other day. So again, we continue to root for him after having his issues in Belgium with the manager and now playing in Holland, which I think is a much better league than Belgium. So we'll see what happens with that. And then Abel Ferreira, congratulations to Abel Ferreira, the Portuguese manager of Brazilian club Palmeiras, recording his 100th win as Palmeiras manager. So that's a pretty, pretty big deal. And let me wrap up this episode 159. Unbelievable what happened to my favorite club in Portugal. For all those who do not know, when you ask me what my club is in Portugal, the one I sweat over, the one I agonize, is, of course, my local hometown team in Arcos de Valveja, a team called Atlético dos Arcos. And I've been following them because I want to see them progress through the pyramid and hopefully one day get up to the second division. I don't think they have the money for the first division, but Atlético has been slumping lately. They at one point a month ago were in first place by 5 points. In their fifth tier they play in, the districts, only the first place team out of 18 automatically gets promoted to the fourth tier. The top two teams do get a berth to the Taça de Portugal, but only one team gets promoted to the fourth tier. And unfortunately, Atlético dos Arcos, a month ago, had a 5-point lead, and now they're 3 points behind because since then they've lost twice. They drew in a match that they should have won, and they only won one of their last four matches. And this weekend they lost to the third place team, Vitorino de Piões. And then to make matters worse, the team that they're battling for first place, Limianos from Punta Lima, beat their opponent 8-0. So we had a 5-point lead, and now we're behind by 3 points. And so it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And then just when you thought things couldn't get worse, the manager of Athletico Veracruz announces his resignation, and eventually his staff left as well. And as I'm recording this on Friday morning, I checked. I haven't seen if they've named an interim manager. They might name the youth soccer manager or youth football manager. I don't know. But it's all gone downhill, and the pain of me trying to watch my favorite small team in Portugal rise through the ranks continues to be stuck in the last tier, the fifth tier. So a very disappointing result for Atletico, very disappointing news to see that their manager, who I thought was doing a great job, is no longer the manager. And obviously something has gone wrong in the last 30 days. Something has happened, because you don't go from a 5-point lead, cruising in the league, to all of a sudden you're falling apart, and now you don't, you know, you got to find a new manager. So something has gone wrong behind the scenes. But again, I'll still continue to support them. So hopefully this week they can get back to their winning ways. And again, the dream is to try to make it to the fourth division. Anyway, folks, that wraps up episode 159. Thank you for listening. Again, Peace Soccer COM on Twitter, Peace Soccer COM on Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_noticias on Instagram. And again, give it a follow on all the other platforms, YouTube, Spotify. That's a great way to say thank you. And again, thank you for your time. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.